Chapter 25, verse 23, and we'll take time to read that passage here in just a moment. Got a little bit of a lengthy introduction, but we want to go ahead and get into it here at this time. Again, we thank you for being here and ask God to be with us here this morning. You know, as we preached the other day about the faithfulness of our God, and we want to talk about today just a little bit or make reference to the faithfulness of God to us as Christians, but more particularly we want to make note of and preach upon the subject, the faithfulness toward God that we should have as Christians. The other day was God's faithfulness to us. Today it's going to be about our faithfulness to our God. Certainly we draw a lot of assurance, comfort, hope from the Scriptures that declare about the faithfulness of our God. Reading through the Psalms, throughout the passages of Scriptures, the abundance of Scriptures that we looked at the other day, thousands upon top of thousands of other Scriptures as well. This whole book, the Bible, is about God's faithfulness to us as His children. God's working in our lives. And then we know about the songs, the beautiful hymns, the songs of old that we sing, that speak about, refer to, make mention of, that we dwell upon and we draw from, that speaks about the faithfulness of our God. You know, we count on our God. We count on our God to be there for us. For every aspect of life and every part of our life, we look forward to and we expect and we say, God, we know that You're there for us and we expect God to be there for us. We take the words of Psalms 23. Absolutely, we take those verses to heart. We draw from those verses. We take great comfort in the great promises, the bold, assertive promises of a God that will not and cannot lie, a true and faithful God. We come to expect and have confidence in the person of our Lord. We understand that He promises, as He promises, He brings to pass all that He purposes within His heart. And just as we depend upon others around us, we depend, and oftentimes we take for granted about people we interact with on any given day. And we depend and we demand. And sometimes, as sad as it is, we take for granted their faithfulness to fulfill the responsibilities and the duties they have. You think about the police officer. You call 911, you expect the police officer to be there. You depend upon, oftentimes you may even demand, and we count on their being faithful to fulfill their obligation, their responsibility. The doctor, the nurse, the pharmacist, the paramedic, the tax preparer, yes, it's that time of the year, the teacher, the water company. Man, we don't think much about the water company till we go turn the water spigot on and it don't come on. The electric company, what havoc it causes when the electricity's out. Worse than that, when our telephone internet service goes down. Man, what havoc that wrecks. And we come to depend upon and we demand these services and these responsibilities to be carried out by these people that are in charge of these things. The list is endless. We could go on and speak about and talk about today. But then the flip side of that is this. Why is it that when it comes our turn to be a faithful, responsible, accountable individual? I'm not saying always. There's always an exception to the rule. There's always an exception to the rule of that one that consistently, faithfully maintains and perseveres in their steadfastness and faithfulness to the things of God. And for you that are that kind of an individual, you're a very, very special individual. For the most part, we struggle. And nobody's perfect, and I'm not saying that. But for the most part, and I'll just speak for myself, I struggle. Struggle in our faithfulness to our God. I struggle. But again, we see those, and we can count ourselves to be one of those that we see sometimes. When it comes our turn to be faithful, responsible, accountable, to always be there, when it comes our turn for that, sometimes we back up. We make excuse. Especially when it pertains to our faithfulness to God. Now that's not all of us. That's not necessarily you. But I can speak for myself. I'm not always all that I should be or want to be for my Lord. But I've often thought about if all Christians, not just in name only, but if all Christians was as faithful to Almighty God, His Word, His work, His ways, as they are to their jobs, their careers, their hobbies, how much stronger all of our churches would be. How much stronger in faith and assurance and service we would all be, personally. How much more pleasing to the Lord and the ability to minister and serve others acceptably if we would be more faithful. As we faithfully follow the Lord, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, I look for the words. Matthew chapter 25 in our text in verse 23. I would like part of these words. I would like to be able to. You ever think about what you want your epitaph to say? What do you want to be on your tombstone? Forever in heaven, or we'll see you in heaven, or a lot of different sayings that people put there. I read one time that always stuck in my mind about Solomon Pease. Solomon Pease, here lies the pot of Solomon Pease. He shelled out and went home to be with his God. I don't have a name like Solomon Pease, so I can't use that. My name's Tim Underwood. What could be my epitaph? I would like for my epitaph to be from these words of Psalms, from these words of Matthew 25, verse 23. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And now when it comes time for that to be on my tombstone, if that's what I was going to have, like I said, I would like it to be there. But what about if my tombstone is already set in place? When they get ready to lower me in the ground, as people may come to the graveside. Somebody asked me, this talking about this guy one time, man, they was really upset with this guy. And they asked him. He talked about him and his partner. Asking the question, said, do you have any friends? Or he asked him, said, do you have any money? He said, yeah. I said, I've got money. He said, have you got enough to do you? He said, yeah, I've got enough to do me. He said, have you got a little extra? He said, yeah. And that's what their conversation was about, was money to start with. And he told him, he said, well, I said, I hope you got a lot. That way you can hire somebody to come to your funeral to grieve over you. He said, because you ain't got a friend in the world the way you treat people. Now, I'd hope that I'd have some friends and loved ones that would come when they lower me in the ground. If I had my brothers, I'm afraid we just don't go up to be with the Lord in the rapture. When it comes to decorating day and people are going around and putting flowers on the graves in the cemetery, and somebody would walk by old Tim Underwood's grave and it says there, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What would people think? What would people say? Would they say, well, that's true. That's a good epitaph. That's old Tim right there. Or would people snicker and sneer and scoff? And say, well, there's nothing true about that. That's a lie. Well, how could he be so bold to put something like that on his tomb? You understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand? Can we live up to that? Could we live up to that? I wouldn't be so bold to do that. Some of you could. I believe that you could. And nobody would ever blink an eye. They say that's true. But I think that's what we should all strive. Because one day it's not going to be written in stone, but it's going to be spoken from heaven, or it will not be spoken in heaven as we stand before our Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I'm going to look and preach about some areas we should be faithful in. What I'm embarking upon is to preach about the theme, the subject of personal responsibility. I've often heard it said, if you want to see the crowd start thinning away, just start preaching about responsibility of the believer to Almighty God. I believe I'm in good company here today. I don't believe that it's going to hurt you to hear about faithfulness and being faithful to God. We have those that are faithful. We have those that have been very faithful through all these trying times. And I applaud you and thank you for that and praise God for you. I want you to continue on to be faithful. Some better days are coming. And we believe that. But let's talk about areas of faithfulness that we need to stay consistent in, as our text declares. I want you to understand this. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We are not talking about a salvation by works. We're not saved by works, by grace and faith, not of ourselves, and a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Ephesians 2:10 refers and makes reference to we're creating His workmanship unto good works. We're not saved by works, but we have a working faith. We are saved to work and serve the Lord. As you love to hear about delight and the faithfulness of God, the Bible declares that God delights, He even demands on our part of us to be faithful. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith produces faithfulness. Or the lack of faith produces a lack of faithfulness. A lack of faithfulness destroys our faith with our Lord. Our assurance and our strength ebbs away. Faithfulness, unfaithfulness, is sin. Because our God speaks so much, and so much of our life revolves around faith. Number one, these are in random order, but certainly this first one is very important. And the Bible even makes it very clearly so in Ecclesiastes 12:13. We need to be faithful to reverence our God. To hold our God in the very highest of respect and honor and glory. For He is deserving of all and even more than we could ever give Him as a human being. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The conclusion of the whole matter. Sum it all up. The wisest man that ever was and ever will be, Solomon. Given the gift of God beyond. What does it say? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. How that we need to honor and reverence our God and be faithful to do that day in and day out. Number two, we need to be faithful to put God's will first. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You understand that? Be faithful to put God's will first in your life. When you put God's will first, and you're faithful to put God number one in your life, and as we seek, and as we scratch, and as we worry, and as we fret, and as we go, and as we do, and as we occupy ourselves so much, God says, "Put me first. Put my will first in your life," and God said, "and I will give you what you need." And then oftentimes it's even the blessing, the abundance of extra, of our wants. God says put Him first. We need to be faithful to put God's will first in our life. What about the words of Jesus? I must be about the Father's will. Very quickly, not elaborate so much on these very important things, topics we're talking about. Number three, we need to be faithful to love our Lord. Matthew 22, verse 36-37, He was asked, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Asking of Jesus. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord with everything you have. And nothing held back, nothing reserved. I'm concerned as a pastor. It's always a concern about those who live their life and you start seeing a withdrawal away from the things of God, the eternal things of the Lord. And like those of the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:4, which said of Jesus, He said after He commended them on some good things, wonderful things and blessed things and godly things. But Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. When you take time to read the introduction there in that passage of Scripture about the church at Ephesus, they was a busy church. They was a persevering church. They was a working, laboring church. They held the high standard of doctrinal purity in their church. Moral purity in the church. Yet Jesus said, you've left your first love. Busyness is not the same as worship. Busyness is not the same as showing love or loving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me back up just a minute. Busyness, perseverance, work, labor, holding the doctrinal purity, moral purity, that should be an outflow of love. But that in itself is not love. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about that. It gives a list of things that you could accomplish, you could be, you could do without love. The Bible says it's nothing. Even the point of giving your body to be burned, you could say, I'll give my life to be burned at the stake for the cause of Christ. If you don't do it in love and your heart's not right, your love's not right for the Lord, it would be worth nothing. The importance. You know, I don't have to tell you, for you that have been married for any length of time, love is a work, it's a labor. You say, well, no, it shouldn't be. Well, no, it shouldn't be, but the devil competes. The devil always competes. He don't want you and your wife to get along. He doesn't want you and the Lord to get along. He don't want things to be in harmony and peace. He'll do whatever he can to continue to disrupt that. And it's not 50-50. It might be 90-10 one day. It might be 95-5 one day. It's a give and take. It's a labor. It's a work. To keep that love vibrant and fresh and real. The same way it is with our Lord. The Lord's always giving. There's no withdrawing of His love for us. The Lord never moves away, but we move away from Him. And we need to love Him. And we need to work at loving our Lord. And work at staying in love with our Lord. And it don't have to come hard. It don't have to be hard and rough and tough. As we're living right and living for the Lord, that love, that fellowship, is very, very sweet. And it's good. And it's the way that it ought to be. But sometimes the devil gets in the range. The devil don't like that. And don't let him. The devil's what? It's always divide and conquer. Sometimes we get to think, well, I don't deserve this. Well, why the Lord let this happen to me? Or the Lord could have stopped this. And we start getting angry at God, or we get mad at God, or we question, well, why, Lord, you let this happen? Listen, He's God. He's supreme. He does right. He does always do what is right. Just continue to have faith in God and be faithful to Him, as He's always faithful to us. Number four, we need to be faithful to His Word. Faithful to read and apply God's Word. Joshua 1:8. You read and apply God's Word, you have good success. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, show thyself approved to God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I know there's some that's taking on the challenge. Reading Bible verses. Reading the Bible through in 2021. If you've made any New Year's resolutions at all, that could be one of the very most noble and honorable things that anybody could do at any age. I know there's some quite young that are doing that. I know there's some that are a little more older that are doing that. And probably everybody in between. Read your Bible, but not only read, but study it and then apply it. Faithful to minister to the saints, those in need. The Bible tells us about that. I'm not going to elaborate on that. But a church just can't be satisfied with reaching out to those all over the world and neglect our families and our neighbors and our own brothers and sisters in the body of believers. We can't do that. We'll preach about that later. Elaborate on what I was wanting to say. Number six, we need to be faithful to the Lord's church. Faithful with our time. Faithful with our talent. So many times we give the Lord what's left over. We give Him what's left over, our time, our energy, our mind. As we're faithful to the Lord's church, do we give our best? If you'd read Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 14, then Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 11, there's some very sobering instructions. But also, it's very sobering, but it's very instructive and it's very helpful. As you think about being faithful to the church. Number seven, we'll be faithful to witness. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, there's a commandment and a mandate to witness. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a pattern was established. Matthew 28, going to all the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where does it start? Starts within your home, your local area. And then you widen that a little bit. Then you go to the othermost parts of the world. And then there's a promise that's to be expected in Psalms 126 and verse 6. And that is what? For there is to go forth weeping, will come forth rejoicing, benefiting, seeing souls saved for your labors. Number eight, we need to be faithful to watch, anticipate, rejoice, and even ask for the return of the Lord. Be faithful to do that. 1 John 3:3. This hope purifies us. Matthew 24, verse 42 and 44. Watch. Revelation 20, verse 20. Even so come Lord Jesus. Somebody says, well, I can't pray for the Lord to come back because I got those in my family that are lost. And I'm afraid to pray for the Lord to come back because I want to see Him saved. I'll tell you what happens. If you get up in the morning and you'll pray and say, Lord, I pray for You to come back today. You'll pray a little harder. You'll make sure that you have shared the gospel with that one, whether it be in a tract or let them know and let them know you're praying for them, you want them saved. You put forth more effort to see them saved because you know if the Lord comes back and they're lost, what awaits them? Don't be afraid to say, Lord, I pray for You to come back today because of your loved ones that are not saved. You get busy sharing the gospel with them. A simple tract. You say, well, I don't know if they'll read it. You give it to them in faith. If they won't let you speak to you, they won't let you talk to them about their salvation. They won't let you speak to them about eternal destiny of heaven and hell. You give them a track. God can make sure they read it. They work. It will work. Be faithful to watch, anticipate, rejoice, and even ask for the return of the Lord. Our God, our Savior, is faithful. And He's coming back again. And those that are lost, if you be lost, those that are listening on the vehicles today, the airwaves today, the live stream today, Jesus is coming back. And what awaits those that be lost? Ultimately, they'll stand before the great white throne of judgment. A terrible, terrifying, a telling time. Ultimately, to hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." In Matthew 25, verse 41. "Depart into everlasting fire." For those that are saved, born again, wash the blood of Jesus. You that have seen Jesus dying for you, specifically for you, for your sins, for your need, for your iniquities, for your transgression. You saw Jesus dying for you, taking your place. The worthy one for the unworthiness of our wicked life, our soul. But you see Jesus taking your place in faith. If you see Him through the eye of faith and you repent of your sin and you believe that Jesus died for you, the Bible says that you can be saved. He died, shed His blood to cleanse you, to pay for your sin debt. And the Bible says that you can be saved and gloriously saved. And know that you're on your way to heaven. And then you too will stand before Christ one day at the judgment seat. As you read about 1 Corinthians verse 3. Judge for good deeds. Good works or lack thereof. Not salvation. That's already been taken care of on the cross of Calvary. Our salvation is not a salvation of do. It's a salvation of done. Securing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we should be faithful to Him as He tells us to be. And when it comes our time to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will you hear the words of our text? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, it ought to be all of our desire. That should be all of our want. Above all else, we that are saved, to know that what we're doing is acceptable now to the Lord, and know that when we get to be with the Lord in heaven, that we'll hear those words as we are judged. And we call it a judgment. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about our deeds and our good works. And somebody said, "Well, it makes no difference to me as long as I get to heaven." Listen, you need to examine your heart. You need to examine your heart. You need to examine your love. Because it should make a difference. If you truly love somebody, care for somebody, you want them and you desire for them to think well of you. And not a fake, imaginary, or put on, but you want it to be real. And it's got to be something you've got to have done something to show that. If they think acceptable of you, they can love you. But I don't want to be somebody that you have to love at a distance. I want to be somebody you can love up close and personal. I want the love of my Lord to so saturate my heart that I can live for Him, be faithful to Him, and that as He rewards me, and He is saying to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I strive for perfection. I'm a long way from it. I don't have to have you to remind me of that. I know that. But I'm striving. I strive every day to be a little closer to my Lord. As I fall and as I falter, I repent of that. I get up and go on again. The next day, I pray the next day will be a little better than it was today. I want to be faithful to my Lord. And certainly there's no question about His faithfulness to me. I want to be faithful. I want to be, and I want the people I pastor, people that allow me to be your pastor, be helping you, listen to me preach. I want to be able to encourage you to be more faithful. Not saying that you're not, but be more faithful. Strive to be more faithful every day unto your Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, just bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we just pray that You'll just work in hearts. If there be one that hear, Lord, there is an invitation. Open invitation. Anybody wants to take time to stay after the service, share, talk about any matter, any situation, salvation, baptism, a rededication of life, or just need in prayer, Lord, we encourage them to stay. Lord, we're here. We're in no hurry. Lord, we want to be able to minister. Thank You, Lord, for the ones that come out. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.